Okay, Matthew 21:31. Whether of them twain, which of the two, whether of them twain did the will of his father? So right now, I don't want you having to look at the rest of the scripture. Try to see what he's talking about here. So which one did the will of his father? So which one, so the key here, I'll just go ahead and start this one since it's a little bit something. The key here is which one did the will of the father, not which one didn't sin or didn't climb the mountain of works or any of that kind of stuff. This is the will of the Father. This is a spirit that is in tune with the Father. Well, who's in tune with the Father?
The Son.
The Son. Okay. So, where somebody find me a manifestation?
The will
of the Father.
Of the Father, but that's also from the land of God. It was their will that this would come forth.
Right. Right.
So it's both, right?
Yes. And there's at least one more place here. How about the last sentence?
Go into the
before
kingdom.
Yep. Somebody is manifesting something in relationship to the will of the Father, and Jesus is pointing out that, you know, he's saying the harlots and the tax collectors are going to go in before you because this is not based on your works. This is based on the world of done and of what you grasp of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in their relationship and are working that, and that's what he's doing, doing the will of the Father, see. And we're so, so trained to think in terms of works and well, I'm better than you because, you know, I don't smoke, or I'm better than you because I don't do this or that or whatever. And none of that, you know, ultimately makes a difference. You say, well, is somebody that smokes going to go to heaven? What? Why are you asking me that? You know what I mean? It's not, we have not mentioned heaven once in this teaching. Have we? No. But we have mentioned now for sure the will of the Father. Okay. So everyone was here, and I should have probably said this, but the thing that Caitlin was going to bring up has to do with the Son, and the Son is the center of all of this, and you know that. This is an area that we've taught for years and years and years, but it's kind of going to be kind of the cherry on the top of all that we're teaching right here. Okay, so we're going to go to that. Does that kind of sound familiar to what you were going to ask? You were going to ask, is there peanut butter in heaven, weren't you? That's
yes.
So that's what I'm trying to address here.
There's a mountain right there. It's right
there. Okay. So somebody want to comment on that? I saw a hand. Where was it? Who was it?
Okay. I can really see where they would be confused in a way. Because they think they're doing the will of God.
That's right.
They think we're followers of the law. These harlots and the tax collectors, you know, they're totally outside of the will of God, and we're in the will of God.
Yeah.
And yet Jesus is totally confusing them in a way.
Right.
Saying they're going to go in before you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the will of, you know, he didn't say it, and basically the will of God is not what you think it is.
It's correct.
You
know?
Well, I agree with that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, because if it's based on works, then the land of done is done, because it's not, because it's not based. That's based on the will of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that already formed it for us so that we would have security and could keep our eyes on Jesus and could want Christ, you know, more formed in us without that being a work. Amen. Mark chapter 1, verse 2. By the way, you were in Matthew 21. Mark is just keep flipping and you'll be there pretty soon. Mark 1, verse 2. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. See something, Deb?
I'd like to say something, but it's very speechless. I mean, he's just saying, I'm sending this before you. I can't comment. It's just speechless because it's so beautiful.
Well, the prophets speak of that which was before. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so he's saying now, behold, I send my messengers before thy face. Now that's the manifestation.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Kelly, you got some more? Is that it?
Deb, I feel like she was saying that here's, something that's preparing the way for that which was from before time to come manifest down here. Yeah. And it's a beautiful heart and spirit of when that starts to happen.
Amen. Well, the as it is written is basically what's settled in heaven, what's settled in the...
It's a comforting network.
Yeah. And... And that's before time for sure. And then behold, I send my messenger before thy face. So that's starting to manifest that, and then, which shall prepare thy way before thee, which is, well, it is, but it's clearly bringing it down too at the same. It's acknowledging it's what they're doing is before time, but it's bringing it down. Shall prepare thy way before thee. And so, thy way. Okay. So see, here's where we mess up a lot is that we have these phrases, these phraseologies, and we have, I'll just say, wrong definitions for him. To prepare his way, he is the way.
Yes.
He is. And so it's not you're trying to figure out Jesus' way so that you can be one of his disciples and you'll be, his disciples, as long as they were following Jesus and not following him as the way, but just following him, trying to learn his way, they denied him and, ran away when he was going to die and all this kind of stuff because they knew nothing about what is done. So they're just in disarray. But when you know Jesus as the way, then you know that this, you look at him and you say, you're the way. And you can say, you're my way, but really it's Jesus.
Right.
And, so, what does that mean? You're learning him. You're learning the life that is. May I say it like this? The life that counts.
That's right.
We go, my life counts. Oh, just leave it alone. Just be dead with Christ. Stop trying to get your life to count, for God's sake. Kelly?
I remember in years ago, you taught in a prophet's class about the ancient paths.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the prophets were calling those ancient paths, these things
mm-hmm.
of the eternal God and how he moved and how he was wanting to bring his people into the ancient paths of the Godhead. It was just powerful. I remember it from many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me of those ancient paths that they would cry out from searching that wisdom before time, that those paths would be back again.
Restorer of the paths to dwell in.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Restorer of the paths to dwell in.
Yeah.
Okay, John chapter 10, verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jim, what do you think?
It's all about the relationship there with the sheep and the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
They know his voice. when the following, that's, you know, the manifestation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To follow
mm-hmm.
that which they know.
Right.
They're following the manifestation of following what you know. The voice you know.
Okay, Kelly?
Goeth before them is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
He goes before them.
He went before them
right.
before time. And
right.
He was slain. And then he's going to actually manifest that.
Right.
And they're going to follow as they partake of that.
Which will be a manifestation.
His life in them. That
right.
which is from the beginning.
Yeah. Amen. See, it's this reality. If it's eternal and always was and always meant to be the bigger part of God's plan for us, then words like this, he goeth before us, is not meant to say Jesus walks over there and then we follow him. You see what I mean? It's going to go all the way to what's finished. And he has gone before us into death. And we are dead. See, the scriptures say you are dead. You know, it doesn't say, die, suckers. Which is sometimes the way I hear it from people, you know. It's like, brother so-and-so needs to die. You know, that sucker. Anyway, so this is important that we see that it's putting forth his sheep. Well, he goes before them, and he did that before time. And we already read that he was a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. So he's already done the cross. And they're just following him into it because they were crucified with him in him.
But he went to the cross before in the land in
mm-hmm. Right.
All done, and then he did it in manifestation
yeah.
right.
as well
yeah. right
so
yeah.
he fulfilled both in
yeah.
in the world of done and the manifestation
right.
of the Lamb,
and everything that is true in done must have a manifestation. Now, manifestation is not a work. It's a manifestation of what is true.
Like where it says he heard his, they hear his voice. Because his voice is speaking of that which was done before, and they can identify that his sheep can.
Mm-hmm.
If you're his sheep, you'll go, yeah, that's what he's talking about. That's what was the whole mind of God, the whole way of God.
Amen. Amen. That's the voice.
Yes.
That's the voice. So I will say as much as I can, Sue, and that is that anything that is true in the land of Dunn was meant by God by doing that before the foundation of the world, by making such a reality, was meant that it eventually be manifest in this earth. It would have a manifestation. So I'm agreeing with Jim, but I'm also trying to point out that there's not going to be anything in that land, if you will, that doesn't expect a manifestation, because it's going to become real down here. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Thank you. That's really good.
All right. let's see. He goeth before them. Yes. And the sheep follow him. Yes. For they know his voice. Okay. John 17:24.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I cheated. I pulled this one out of the other list, too, you know, but I thought we needed a few that just flat out said it. Okay, John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Don't you mean, oop, there it is. We did that last night. We went over that scripture.
John 17:24. No, he said that there before.
That's yeah, there's a bunch of them.
I said there was one place where he said the glory that I had with you before the world began.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a different place.
Okay, anybody want to comment? So it's important. It's not... I'll say this. It's not important that you comment, although it is. But I'll back up again and say it's not important that you comment, but what's important is that you know you are seeing what's going on. And not only that, but it's important that you don't see it just because somebody else has said it in the room. It's important. It's important because it'll be like a vapor. It'll go away from you. But if you can see these things, even if somebody else is saying them and you go, that is there. I see the principle. I see the pattern. I see, then it's going to be solidified in you. Amen? Okay. What did I say? John what?
John 17:24.
Father, I will that they also... And I read this, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. So, comment?
Just so that the Father's, you know... Before the foundation of the earth, the Father's cry and the Son's cry is being manifest here mm-hmm. in this prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're talking about it, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just saying, you know... This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about.
That's it.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So, whom you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So that would... It's from the beginning. It's from the land of Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when it happened. When they, and then it's...
Right.
This is their joy.
And you loved him before the foundation.
Yeah, but hast given me is past tense.
Yeah.
So that has to be from the world of Dun, you know. Has to be. Okay. And then you're seeing Jesus' heart. He's talking to the Father, so you see their connection. And you see how beautiful it is. But then you see Jesus' heart for us. And he's saying, whom thou hast given me, be with me. Where I am, not where I reside, but where, anywhere where I am, the I am, then I want him to be with me there.
That's also going into crucifixion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kelly, did you raise your hand or you're just opening the window?
I probably won't. I don't know. But I just like the one where it said that, help me put my glasses on so I can see it. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. To me, I mean, just, I don't know if it's an answer, but just, it's such solid ground standing on the love they have and have mm-hmm. always had and will always have mm-hmm. that is eternal life. And mm-hmm. that it's not, I know we all know this, but mm-hmm. it's not about me. It will never mm-hmm. be about me. Mm-hmm. And because of that solid love they have, mm-hmm. eternal rock of their relationship, I am always going to be on solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one, to me personally, one of the most blessed things of this world of Dunn is that what these two have, mm-hmm. I can be found there. And it's not based on me, but their love.
It's just so
amen.
Cool.
And we've seen that word love come up several times
yeah.
because it, first of all, that is God. God is love.
Yeah.
So it would have to come up. But I also added this on mine, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, before time.
Oh. Mm.
So that rips away
yeah.
everything but them.
It does.
And you go,
yes.
There they are.
Oh.
There they are. And they have, you know, Jesus said, I must go away, but I go away to prepare a place for you. You know, So it's like, okay, well, it's already done there, but I am going to bring you with me in me.
It's amazing.
Wow. Raised up together in Christ Jesus. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. It's like, yeah, and maybe I haven't heard it before because I just heard it.
That's right.
Okay, so, all right, so I want to, the next scriptures and maybe all of the rest, I want to refer to David. And I want to refer to David and the things that he saw and heard from God. And one of the most common that I refer to is that, you know, David quotes, you know, the Lord said unto my Lord, you know, what?
It's just powerful. We shared on
that. Yeah.
Sit at my right
hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the picture that I first got when I first saw that years ago was David is quoting this. And I saw, like, if there was, and this doesn't count, but I'm just going to tell you what I saw. As if there was a big room and God the Father was there and God the Son was there and God the Holy Spirit was there. And over in this corner was a little chair and David was sitting there listening to God talk among themselves. The Lord said to my Lord. And I believe, and that's why the rest of these include David, I believe that David had a special relationship with God. And we know Zion, you know, and God throughout through the Psalms, you know, David is quoting God. You know, God loves Mount Zion. Well, that was where the tabernacle was, you know, you remember all this, right? I mean, the tabernacle had the Holy of Holies, but it had the holy place, and then it had the altar and all of that stuff. And then it got lost because the priests were all flakes. And so then Jesus comes along. I mean, David comes along, becomes king, and the first thing he does is bring the ark back because it had been out of Israel. And he sets it up in a place where, and now this is the Holy of Holies. Now, nobody's supposed to go in there except the high priest. But David, he communes with God. And it's on a different basis than all of this religious stuff. I mean, he broke the rules so many times I can't tell you. You know? I mean, yeah. Well, it more than a relationship, yes, but let me say it like this, you're right. But it was something higher than the way other people were relating. God loved David. And he loved the fellowship. And he only got that kind of fellowship from David, and then David found some people that when they worshiped, it wouldn't just be songs. So they got to come in there too. And so you see that later on, and this is all in Acts, good grief, Stephen, you know, chapter 7, yeah, Acts chapter 7 with Stephen, and he talks about God loving, you know, David and how special that was. But it also talks about soon as David died, and even before that, Solomon set up a big temple. And Stephen says, like he quotes the prophets, he says, God doesn't like temples. He wanted what he had with David in that little room. And so then you get down into the New Testament in Acts 15, and they're trying to figure out how to deal with the Gentiles and all of this stuff. And, you know, Peter talks, and he talks about what his experience, and, you know, that I, you know, went there, and they all received the Holy Spirit. And Paul starts talking about what they did, and all of this kind of stuff. And then James speaks, and James says, and he quotes Amos. And he says, this is what is the New Testament, that that the tabernacle of David that was torn down. What's this, the pure?
It's chapter 9.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's 15, isn't it? Oh, Amos. Yeah. And he says, you know, I want built again, that which is fallen down. Okay. So you see that the failure of the past wasn't just sin or whatever. It was the lack of being able to be with him and to hear him. And so David was special to him, but maybe David found out that it was all settled in, you know, there.
Hallelujah.
And he said, you know, he danced naked, and he went into the Holy of Holies, and he did all this stuff. And you're going, David, you know? I mean, that's where I get it from. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Well, and it wasn't just a truly knowing the Lord. It's what you said. It was the way that he related to the Lord. And so I wanted to go through scriptures in relationship to David, because it would give proof that a human being
can
walk with God in this way. And yeah, okay. So Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Chapter 1. 16. You know, the good thing about me teaching and sharing with y'all is we get to have sword drills. You get to have a lot of scriptures and finding them, you know what I mean? All right, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. I think I have this mixed up a little bit, but so just read what you got there and then see if you can find one of the other things. The last part is Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus.
Yeah. Well, the land of Dun was, I'm sorry.
No, you go, go.
He spoke before.
That's it.
Which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David. He said, you know, it was like done in the land of Dun before, like you said, everything that was said and done had to be fulfilled.
Right.
And this is saying it was done.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Kelly?
I had a thought. Just that there was something you said about the wisdom of God and how, like, they slayed the prophets in the parables.
Right.
And that that was that outworking of how this wisdom manifests down here, but from the beginning. And so you'd think, well, Judas is a very specific, particular person, etc. However, if it's spoken from before time, it's more in relation to the wisdom of God than Judas. It manifested with Judas betraying the Christ. However, it was the wisdom from before time that foresaw that,
right,
and how that would be how that lamb slain before the foundation of the world would manifest in the wisdom of God down here.
Right. God didn't force Judas's will. It was his will, but But, you know, just so you know this, Judas was absolutely necessary to the plan of God because of the cross. Yeah. And so, you know, there was going to be a Judas. And I know, and I can hear you right now going, am I that Judas? And I don't want to be that. Oh, just hush up. Stick with us here. you know, for, let's see, what is it? All right, so you got men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled. It must have a manifestation. So that means that's where it came from. Okay? And he says, fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before. So David was way before Judas. But he foresaw that, from the Holy Spirit, as it said. Well, this confirms my thing that throughout the scriptures we'll be looking at now, David had a special relationship with the Lord because he didn't just live down here and, oh God, and all this stuff. He went to the city of Dun, or whatever we call it, the land of Dun. He and was drawing things out of that place that had been set before the foundation of the world.
This is so beautiful.
Yeah. So, Deb?
Yeah, that I was just a small comment on that. Others kind of touched on it, but I just bear witness with what you're saying here. It says the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spoke. And this isn't like the movement of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the way we have known Him in the past. This is the Holy Spirit that's part of that Godhead of the land of Dun.
Amen.
That David had been there.
That's right. Yeah.
And that one is speaking
Amen.
Through this to David. He's in that relationship of the land of Dun with the Godhead. He's dwelling. We love those scriptures where David uses dwell.
Well, and it's kind of, the scriptures do call David a prophet, but what that means to us is that he visits the place of Dun.
Yeah.
And he sees stuff.
Now we understand why he could go into the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly right.
I never understood that.
That's right.
Just use David's mind.
Because the Holy Spirit wasn't in him, but yet.
He
was
in
that. Was he in him? I mean, if he got to that place,
right?
Because
that place, it's done.
And it's before time and after.
Yeah,
he'd had a revelation anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, to have a revelation is great, and I believe in that, and I've written many books on it. But I do think that a true revelation of Christ and the revelation of this area that we're talking about means you're stepping out of time, you know, and you're really in God's realm, and you're seeing things that aren't lawful because it's that's right. Which the Holy Ghost, okay, I did like this little part, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David, by the mouth of David. Oh my gosh. So this is the Godhead breaking into the realm of earth and speaking of another realm. And drawing David out of it. And I think that's what the Holy of Holies was to David. Mm-hmm. It was another realm.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, this is where God is. This is where he's always dwelt. This is where he said he wanted to dwell.
Right.
So he is experiencing this whole new thing. And so the proof of it is bam, the Holy Spirit speaks through his mouth. I mean, it's not like the Holy Spirit showed him and he said it.
It's different than that.
that David really had that kind of a relationship, and that we could, the possibility of it. Yeah.
David had this under the old covenant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much more should we have it as the body of Christ with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
We have no excuse.
Yeah, there's a place that I wish I could just quote it perfectly, but it talks about they're writing, and it's in the New Testament somewhere, and they're writing, and they said that, and the Spirit came down, and the prophets were designed to look into it, and the Spirit came down, and they wish they could have seen it, but we're the partakers of that.
That's a Peter, isn't it? It's a Peter.
But to choose habitation, from that place.
Habitation there.
Amen. I recently preached a sermon that said visitation or habitation. And most people are into visitation.
We want habitation.
Oh my God. Acts chapter 2, verse 25.
Verse 25 through 28.
And then after this one, we only have two more scriptures. 2:25-28. Ready? For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved.
Yes.
Therefore did my heart rejoice, because I'm not being moved, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. That's pretty incredible. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Okay, go, Kelly.
So I see David literally foreseeing, like, he's inside of Jesus, the resurrected Son. And literally just the Son being raised up to the right hand of his Father. And he's just there in that before time slaughtered lamb being gathered back up to his Father. And he's there in the joy and the fullness and the victory and the love and the oneness and the et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. He saw the Lord always before his face. But he was in the land of Dun when he saw it.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Therefore, he foresaw.
Yes.
That's it. Yeah. Well said, brother.
That's one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
No, I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, there's more in this verses. Anybody?
I think there's more.
Yeah.
I think that I should not be moved.
Yeah.
But it's a manifestation based on what was true.
Yes.
What is true in the land of Dun.
Yep.
Amen.
Don't move from the land of Dun.
Amen.
You know, in that sense, here we know this is David. But in that sense, we could say, well, David was a special person. But this scripture is trying to show us that this is for all of us, because it's that reality that if anybody, you know, holds on to what's been done instead of trying to do it, these things are going to manifest in you. There are manifestations of joy throughout this whole thing, these scriptures. It's like, I mean, living a joyful Christian life. That, how about that? You don't hear about that much. Yeah, Kelly?
I think this is quoted in Acts too, but how about, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, mm-hmm. neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. So if it's all about our corruption, but it's his holy one, thou will not suffer to see corruption. And if we're identified in Amen. Them mm-hmm. in the land of Dun, mm-hmm. what a new approach to our corruption. And I think mm-hmm. Peter saw that in 1 Peter 2 when he started talking about the incorruptible one. He was speaking yeah. from the land of Dun. And finding hope and a new way of approaching everything.
Well, the first, on verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him.
Ooh, yeah.
I foresaw.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Take me home, Lord. To the land of
dung. Say dung again?
No.
Okay, just checking. Okay, any comments on the rest of that? All right, we only have, we got two more scriptures. Acts chapter 2, verse 31 and 32. Book of Acts 2, 31 and 32.
So it helps you to appreciate.
Oh, I thought that was the song.
You know, he considered all his works, all his life, dung. Because he had that understanding of it.
I'm done.
Well, I said that last night, that there's either the world of Dun or the one of dung.
That's true.
Yep. Paul counted it all dung that he may win Christ.
That's the truth.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at that, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know, really?
Well, I think one of the things that people try to do is they try to visualize it or something. And it's not a visualization. It's a faith, you know,
yes.
that if he said he did this and he did, that we've gone through bunches of scriptures to prove it.
Yeah.
And there's so much more. I mean, I just picked out some as I went. So guess what? If you take it home, you got a Bible. So you just, you know, start looking through. Okay, Acts 2, 31, 32. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses.
Wow.
That's definitely a manifestation.
That's right, brother. You nailed that one.
And
he foreseen this.
Amen.
So that's definitely
the
Yep. Yeah, and he's seeing there done. He's seeing the resurrection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So,
mm-hmm.
it's not David, just like I said, he's not the one ascending. He's saying, come up here and sit in this Godhead, sit in this Son.
But he foresaw.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I think it's interesting that here we are in Acts, and I literally thought we were in Psalm because these are Psalms.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that when Jesus has just freshly rose from the dead, and these guys are declaring what happened, and they are quoting David over and over because he foresaw it. And they are going to him with the evidence of what just manifested.
Yeah.
And I think that is very important.
That's
why I picked a bunch of David in a row, because I just think
this is such a fresh reality.
Yeah, I agree, Sue. This was a fresh reality.
And they have to go back. Wow. Proof.
Yes. Right. And then they go and find it wasn't an event.
That's right.
It was foretold and done. And so they're, compared to modern day Christianity, they're being founded on something that they saw already in David, you know. Right, right.
Praise the Lord. I've got to go back to the last scripture. This keeps coming up. And the last part of it also, moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. And the flesh is where he is right now. It's talking about his body in time right now on the earth. But he's finding rest in hope. And hope goeth in behind the veil where the presence of God is. And so that is in that land. So his earthly being now is finding that rest. Yes. In that place, amen. through his hope, he gets back into the Holy of Holies.
Wow. God's that realm. Yeah.
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 Ooh. Yeah, one of the things that's kind of amazing about that phrase is my flesh will rest in hope. In other words, it's almost saying, I still have flesh. I still mess up. I still got problems. But based on what God did before time,
yes,
it can rest in hope. That's amazing, you know. Because we're always trying to be perfect. And guess what? None of us are perfect. So our flesh does not rest in hope. We still wrestle and trying to make the flesh not flesh. But David's going, well, after seeing all this, he's saying,
moreover,
therefore, my flesh is going to rest in hope instead of agony. Yeah.
Can I just quote one David scripture real quick from the Psalms?
No. Yes, you can.
It's Psalm 116, and it's so past tense, and I just thought of it based on, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. He has inclined his ear to me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Not because he will, but because he has. Mm-hmm. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the Lord. O Lord, beseech thee, deliver my soul. And he's kind of looking for answers down here. Mm-hmm. But then, verse 7, but return to thy rest, O my soul, because the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. He has delivered your soul from death. He has delivered your eyes from tears. He has delivered your feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed. Therefore have I spoken.
Praise God.
And David says in those scriptures in Acts, or it says, or whoever wrote it, that David's soul was not going to stay in hell.
Yeah.
He's not going, okay, I got to get my mind renewed. I got to put on this new man. You know, I got to wash my conscience. No, he just is saying, my soul's not going to stay there now. Because he's found the Lord in this Godhead, in this realm. Mm. And he could say such a bold statement. Like all those ones that you have, soul. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to renew our mind, cast this down. Of course, yes.
Right.
But
he's returning to his rest.
It says life swallows up this mortality.
See, and that's a good point, because if the land of done is here, and we're down here with the things you were talking about, flesh and this and that, and I got to renew my mind, and the scripture's also down here, tell me I got to renew my mind and everything. But if this one that's down here in this realm starts coming up to this realm, they're going to see things differently, and they're going to be changed, because they're not going to be jumping through hoops up here, because it's done.
It's done. That's why that scripture right there says, "My David didn't ascend. My Lord said, sit thou here in this sun."
Yep.
Amen.
Yep. He did, but he ascended in Christ.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yes, yeah. ascended in another person.
But, you know, he didn't, what you're saying is that he didn't ascend by, you know, doing all those things.
Yes.
And they're in the scriptures and they're in the New Testament. They are. They're there. But we've always made them pertain to us instead of what happened to him, and therefore what happened to us in him.
And we do it there.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if you can imagine a change happening here, as you draw near more and more and more, you're like, I'm going to live here.
I'm going to live
here. Jim, I'm sorry, I cut you off a while ago. You were saying something.
I was just going to say, when she read it, she's like, and your point is, the scriptures speak for themselves.
Yes.
You know? Don't need a lot of explanation. Let the Holy Ghost just say what he said.
Amen. Okay, Sue, didn't you have something?
I just said when we come to that place, we can finally have rest.
We can.
True rest.
His rest.
His rest.
Rest in my rest.
Not the rest on this earth.
No.
To have that
and
rest
God,
from the land of Dun.
And God calls it my rest.
My rest.
Not our rest. We come into his rest.
His rest.
Whoopee! What? You know, I have to say this before we say anything more, and that is, I see what you're doing here. Y'all are starting to read scriptures from other places now, and you're extending all of this. You're extending the meeting when it wasn't, we were supposed to just do here. Okay, here we go. Last scripture, Acts 3:18. Let's look at this one, and then we done. Acts 3:18. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Yeah.
They'll read that one again.
Okay. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled.
There it is.
Yeah. Oop, there it is.
Jesus.
And that's a
praise
good
God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So I had, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of his prophets that Christ should suffer, I had lamb before time in parentheses,
mm-hmm.
that Christ should suffer. He hath also fulfilled, and I put manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. Thank you for opening your heart to the foolish and to the ones
Amen.
Who know that apart from you and what you did before the foundation of the world, before time in yourself, because of the beauty of your heart, we'd have nothing. But because your heart, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came together and not just thought this up, but did it, and then
Amen.
Manifested it.
Amen.
We have everything, because we have all riches
Amen.
That are found in you, in your Son. And Lord, who could exhaust the knowing of what was before us, but what is now ours in Christ. Lord, let that open up like a world of done, a world of you, that is freely given by grace for us to partake of. But it's not us, it's your Son, it's God, it's you. And Lord, we just ask that these things would be written not just before time, but into our hearts.
Yes.
That you said you wanted to write it in our hearts, what was before time, written in us,
yes,
in our fleshly tables, so that it, in the nature of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of this world, it would manifest. It would come to manifestation in his nature through us right now. And Lord, we will never be satisfied till that happens for your glory and by your Son. So just seal this up in your Holy Spirit. Let us just be washed in our inner man by the Word of God that is living. It's a river. It flows. It's running. It's eternal. And let it bring forth Christ in this way. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.